We're back on InFocus News Radio KMAN, and we're going to close out the program talking with Dr. Tony Cabina, licensed clinical psychotherapist at Ascension Via Christi Hospital. Dr. Cabina, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You bet. Bringing you on here today as September is Suicide Awareness Month. I think it's a National Awareness Month. And brought you on here today to kind of talk about this because this is a subject that deserves to be talked about. Obviously, is preventing suicide primarily is the big goal here this month, and really, this is something that never seems to go away. This is a problem that people struggle with on and off for a variety of reasons, and really the idea here is to just communicate about that and eliminate the stigma, I guess.
Absolutely. And that's one of the major pieces is, you know, there is this feeling that people have of let's just not talk about it. Or I feel like if I do talk about it, I'm going to increase the person's suicidal ideation or attempting, which is actually the opposite because they're already feeling isolated. They're already feeling like no one is there for them or that they're able to talk to anyone. So if you do open up and break that taboo barrier, then it's nothing but more productive.
All right, yeah. And obviously there's been a lot of hardship that people have struggled with. That's usually, it seems like, where people start contemplating suicide is whenever life starts to throw them some curveballs here. And there's been a lot of that with the coronavirus pandemic this year. And I'm curious if you've seen maybe an uptick in people who are struggling with depression.
Yeah, there's definitely been an uptake in terms of the severity of depression, and there's been a little bit of uptake on an anecdotal level, personal level for me, of an increase of suicidality. But people, you know, are responding to it in different ways. But it definitely, if you're battling with depression, or even if, you know, you weren't battling with depression before the virus came out, it definitely has psychologically dinged us all, and that really can drag everyone down. Been absolutely present.
Yeah, and obviously, I think the first step here for anybody is to, as mentioned here, kind of just talking about it at first, and maybe getting to know, you know, the symptoms to watch out for.
Yes, you know, and there is definitely the symptoms, at least from an external point of view, of isolation of you know, looking like in terms of depression itself, of being drained, of giving away one's items, of, you know, just total withdrawal. These are the standard symptoms that someone would see, be it a family member or a friend or a colleague, just their demeanor changing and pulling away from everyone. That isolation is not only can be like a symptom, but can be a catalyst for, you know, both suicide and also depression, and a magnifier of the depression. You know, they're left with their own mind, their own thoughts, and their own belief system that definitely drive them down.
Well, the isolation impact, I mean, that word has come up so much this year in the news, and a lot of people have been stuck at home, and they can't go out to places, and they can't socialize. What are you telling your clients to come see you, you know, how to overcome stuff like that?
It has definitely been a challenge for everyone in terms of being isolation. What it is that you do with both your thoughts and your behaviors are extremely important for if you want to flourish or if it will start to drag you down just based upon what's happening. I have some specific pointers that I've been working on with people in the room. One is, for the time being, minimize the amount of media and social media because it always feels like, again, during the time of 9/11, everyone got addicted to the news and to every piece of information that they just get bombarded and it can just drag them mentally down. And so I'd encourage definitely to try and take some time away from that social media, away from the news, and try to get outside. And that's also extremely important. Another thing that I would encourage is the healthier behaviors. Try to get outside. Try to find a way to still appropriately, in terms of the virus, but appropriately socialize. Try to make sure you're invested in hobbies that make you feel better, that make you be in the moment versus, you know, just being wrapped up around the virus and the struggles and the unknowns. So control your environment through your actions instead of trying to control this unknown virus that we really cannot control. It is just it is overwhelming us on a societal and a national level.
You're speaking with Dr. Tony Cabina, licensed clinical psychotherapist with Ascension Via Christi Hospital. And I imagine there's always resources available here in our community, including at the hospital.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's, you know, of course, we are the behavioral health here at the Via Christi Hospital, Ascension. There's just also, however you get it, it's extremely important. If you go through your religious group, if you go through your healthcare provider, be it even your physician, you can definitely get support through your friends and family. There's also a suicide hotline prevention line. There are many clinicians, be it on an individual and having their own, group clinics together to help you out. And the last resource that if you really are struggling, there is, don't be afraid to go to the ER if you're in that state. And if you can't make it to the ER, the very last step is, call the police, and, they have mental health providers and they have mental health responders, and they'll get you into the ER and they'll get you taken care of.
All right. Obviously, this is a suicide can impact anybody. I always think about young people in particular, teenagers come to mind because it's so difficult, all the challenges that they have to face. But that age group specifically, how much do you work with folks like that?
I can work in terms of our clinic. I can work being 18 and above due to legal standards of having adults. But definitely, you are right. The teenagers have a tendency to have a much higher rate of suicidality than the general population. And they're the ones who are higher risk due to impulsivity, to struggle with a lot of emotions, the unknowns, trying to figure stuff out. So it's a lot. It seems to hit them a lot heavier, even without a virus being around. So it's that hopelessness, and there's no way out, and this terrible thing will last forever. So changing that mentality and getting the resources are definitely helpful, especially with. If the parents could talk to them and again, break that taboo, try and converse. If they're worried or if they're thinking their child is struggling, then don't be afraid to talk about it with them.
Yeah, and that's so important. Obviously an issue that's close to me. I had a brother-in-law a few years ago who ended his life, unfortunately, and it was about 6 years ago. Yeah, it was tough for our whole family. But the one thing that always stuck with me is listening to the pastor at his funeral is that it was a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And that has stuck with me all these years. And it's just that really is, it's so true. A lot of the stuff that we have in our lives is temporary and it will pass.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the important phrases that people don't understand is that it is the dangers of suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I mean, I worked when we used to have an inpatient here at Via Christi inpatient. It was amazing on a personal level when I saw the person came in, they got a good night's sleep and some a little bit of meds on board and a little bit of talking. After a day or two, the world changed. It didn't solve all the problems in their lives because that's not logical, but it really seemed to see a change there. And that's why I really promote that suicide is so many ways is not an answer. It's a horrible answer and it leaves such a devastating hole in all the lives around the person who loved them, a hole that is extremely hard to repair.
Well, Dr. Cabina, I just got a little bit of time left here. Is there anything else you want to make sure you get out there to the public this morning?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd like to point out that these are not easy times, and it's okay to not be okay. I mean, there's been a big promotion saying, hey, hang in there. Everyone's doing good. We're strong. We're powerful. And that is true. I like the optimism, but I also want to recognize that, it's okay that this is tough. It's okay that you don't have all the answers. It's okay to not be okay. And just recognize that you're also not alone where you're feeling like. Talk with other people and you open up to that that kind of destroys that isolation, that destroys that invalidation. So please just, you know, talk with your friends, your family, your clergy, talk with anyone and try and open up and take a chance with those around you. One way or another, there's going to be people there who love you, want to make sure that you're going to keep around in this world.
Good words to live by, for sure. Well, Dr. Kabina, if people need to get a hold of you there at the hospital, how can they do that?
If they'd like to, our number here is 785-565-2960. That is our specific clinic, and they would just give a call, and they can attempt to make a schedule appointment for individual outpatient psychotherapy.
All right, sounds good. Dr. Kabina, thank you so much on this important topic. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Brandon.
That'll wrap up our show. Thank you to all our guests this morning. Coming up on Monday, we'll talk with Cheryl Collins from the Riley County Historical Museum, and that'll be our show for Monday.